Oh, this is the Real BS Show, starring Seth.
Yep.
And Bill.
That's right.
S and B.
The B and S.
Let's do a quick. Let's do it. We did an interview with one of my favorite coin shop guys, and asked him lots of questions, and he came up with some real interesting stuff. And I don't know. We'll make it simple this week, and we'll just do that and see what you think. At first, he starts talking about silver and stuff, but then he gets into the politics and the cashless society and all these different things that are going to be real big news here pretty soon. And I don't know. I just found it real interesting. So you want to play that?
That sounds good.
Sounds good to you? All right. Well, let's do that. Okay?
Okay.
We have Tim Marshner of the Coin and Stamp Shop joining us. Tim, thank you. This is just awesome. I have more questions for you. What is a good price to pay on 1 ounce silver rounds at an LCS today?
Well, we just had a batch come in. They were $28.50, yep. And the next batch, I believe, is at $27.50. So they are still going down. Mm-hmm. And they're getting a little smarter about the manufacturing of the Buffalo rounds. The Buffalo is by far the most popular. They're being made overseas. You'll notice that most of the volume that we're seeing is coming from mints that have no flat surfaces on the coin.
Yeah.
If you want to make a, like, the ones from Sunshine and Highland Mint were just beautiful. They had nice, shiny mirror finishes on the field.
Gorgeous.
And the devices were frosted. That wears out dies very quickly. So if you have highly polished dies, they give you a nice mirror finish on the field.
Yeah.
You can make half the coins with a set of dies that you can make. If you don't polish the dies and you don't frost the image.
So operationally, they're making them cheaper.
They're making them cheaper, but they're getting them out the door. That's the key things. We went through almost an entire month where we couldn't get Buffalo rounds. Most of the ones we see, I think, are made in Bulgaria or someplace like that. But because they've gotten so much smarter in the manufacture, I mean, what is a silver round but a hunk of silver? It's beginning to look more like a hunk of silver, the Buffalo rounds, but it still has the Buffalo and the Indian design, but you don't see any tremendous detail.
Ooh, I want to get your opinion on this round. This is a beautiful Scottsdale mint round. It is a cowboy round, Tim.
Yeah, I've seen those. We had a few come in. My opinion of Scottsdale is they don't have a great wholesale business, but their coins are beautiful. The bars are beautiful.
Yeah.
They're one of the ones that I really enjoy looking at their stuff because they have a huge variety. They have under contract great designers. I don't know if they make everything themselves or if they buy designs, but it's a good company. And I just hope they're able to continue to come out with a great pieces of artwork that they have been coming out with.
How hard is it to get stock week to week?
It's actually getting a lot easier, but I'm ordering every single day.
Okay.
And every day it's between $150,000 and $200,000 worth of stock every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting a little tedious. And, all that cash that comes into my store, I got to put in the bank, and they charge me to do that. It's becoming less fun, not because of anything other than the way that this government is treating small business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to get a lot worse. They have a lot more tricks and ways of opening up your accounts to the IRS, but they are in the process of crushing small business. And I don't know, do you get the numismatist? I got a card from somebody that says, you had a great, article in the numismatist. I didn't see it, so
no,
I don't know what that's all about.
I heard that too, but I don't get it.
And the comment was that because so many small coin shops are disappearing, that it's good to see one that's thriving.
I want that article. I want it.
Well, I haven't seen it, but that was from the individual who sent me the card.
Wow. Okay.
and, you know, a good friend of mine. And, you know, I've noticed that myself. I mean, a lot of coin dealers who are, you know, my age or maybe a little younger than I am are giving up. And it's because they, for a couple of reasons, they don't want to be charged to deposit cash in the bank.
Yep.
They don't want to have to put out a couple of $1 million every month to buy stock. You know, it's just not the way they want to operate. And, you know, I never really wanted to operate that way, but it's necessary. Somebody has to do it. And, I people ask me all the time, when are you going to just drop things and retire for real? I'm not going to abandon any of my customers. See, the thing is about the cash comes into the store all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the strength of the business right now is the local business. We did have a customer come in from Kansas. We did have people from Maine come over today.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody brings cash. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you can always give me a check if you want to, if you don't mind coming back.
A personal check, yes.
And I one customer who was 3 hours away didn't want to, you know, go back home and get a check and come back. And I said, you know, just send it in if you want. We'll hold the prices.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do that. You know, if I can hold the prices until we receive a check and until the check clears, that's fine. If we, for some reason, can't, I explain that up front. And, you know, if I have to estimate something that we don't normally carry that I have to go out and order, you know, we'll try to hold the prices, but I tell them that the quote is an estimate. Because if they don't have it in stock, it's hard to tell what it's going to cost me. But it's
cash.
It's a critical time. This whole rush to buy gold and silver may end soon.
Wait, what?
The rush to buy gold and silver may end soon, because you understand the people who are closing out IRAs or 401ks have likely started to do that.
They are doing that.
The run of the banks has already started, but it's not that visible because it's still a small portion of the population.
Yep.
When it becomes, well, let's see, if your average Democrat wakes up one day and understands that things are changing in a hurry, they may start going out to the bank and taking their money out. The expected conversion over to a cashless society, that's being put off more every day. FedNow is supposed to be instant payment for the banks.
Right.
That isn't happening. I don't know what the glitches are.
You're saying that it's not implemented yet, effectively?
It's being implemented, but it's
not
effective.
Fully.
Effective? I would say it's not effective. I don't think it's in place effectively anywhere. I'm sure the New York banks are getting their cut right away, but it's been very slow.
So do you think FedNow is failing?
I don't think it's failing. I think it's having a rocky start. Just put it that way. A central bank digital currency is already well in effect in certain places.
Okay.
China and Russia are the problem for this country,
mm-hmm.
because they have already decided on their own reserve currency.
Mm-hmm.
China immediately went to the Middle East, made friends with all our enemies in the Middle East. They have Saudi Arabia, they have Iran, they have Iraq, they probably have Syria, they certainly have Turkey. Any country that has a pipeline going to Russia is going to be joining their reserve currency.
Mm-hmm.
Their influence goes throughout Africa. It's throughout now South America. And there's not one single country in Asia that's going to buck China, including India, which is an ally of ours, a strong ally. So we effectively have 80% of the world on a reserve currency that is not the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That's already started.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese have already started their economic war with this country. And they literally have 3/4 of the world's nuclear powers lined up against us, and 80% of the nations in the world lined up against us as far as the reserve currency goes. So we're going to align ourselves with Europe. The ECB has their own digital currency, according to Christine Lagarde. That's already been worked out. All they need is the compatibility, or at least the assistance of, or the collusion of the Fed,
mm-hmm.
In their digital currency. And then it's us against the world.
You're not afraid or even concerned about a on that phone over there, right down there, a digital currency that's used instead of cash for transactional purposes, how the government will be able to dole out stimulus, how taxes, how Social Security, how payments for mortgages, how everything that we do in banking will be controlled behind the scenes by the same central banks that are controlling their international CBDCs.
Probably not in my lifetime.
Okay.
And
that's encouraging because you're going to live to 100, by the way.
Oh, jeez. Maybe in my lifetime.
I hope so.
Yeah, and you know, in the countries just this summer, mm-hmm. You know, Germany, France, Belgium, let's see where else we go. The UK, they're all trying to take cash away. They're all trying to suppress the huge, centralized place that cash has in everybody's society.
Right.
It's failing in little ways everywhere. And give you a couple of examples.
Yes.
Everywhere you go in Europe, there are homeless people in the streets and begging for money. We were in a place called Liège in Belgium. And there were a couple of vagrants who were following us everywhere, asking for anything, you know, a euro here or, you know, 2 euros. I had one guy stop me and said, you know, I have to get to, where was he going? Have to go to Frankfurt. I need 8 euros and I'm 5 short. So, you know, but they hound you. They hound you. Okay, let's come back to this country. We have, per capita, the largest homeless population outside of Africa and South America, okay? We have a huge homeless population growing in this country, which is strange because we have a kind of a moderate temperate climate. And you know, it's not like South America and Africa that have warm climates. Mm-hmm. What are those people going to do if there's no cash? What are they going to do? How are they going to pay their drug dealers with no cash? You're going to pay them with gold and silver? That's one, but you heard our genius vice president talk about population reduction the other day. But let's see, why in San Francisco are they giving the drug addicts tents to live in, free needles, and you know, whatever counteracting drugs they need so they don't, blow up in the street and crumble in a pile of dust without treating them. They're not sending anybody to rehab. They're not sending anybody to treatment centers. They're giving them needles. They're leaving the access to the drugs, and the whole program for treating drug addicts is to make it easy for them to die.
Yep.
Okay, that is population reduction.
Yes.
They literally don't care about hundreds of millions of people in this country. They do not care at all about small business. Mm. Small business will start crumbling everywhere. You know, this country is in a world of hurt because this administration, you know, the spineless coward in the White House doesn't care about the Constitution. He wants to get his way like a little crybaby, and he's willing to weaponize the national police force against the people. He's willing to hurt, seriously harm hundreds of millions of people in this country to get his way. The guy is a spineless coward. That's the only way you can describe him. And now he's showing how spineless he is. By trying to weaponize the whole government against his political opponents.
Okay. Do you want to thank you for sharing that?
Okay. Well, anytime.
You want to talk about gold and silver?
That's why I'm at my store so late every day.
I know. See, that's the other reason why you still are a local coin shop dealer, because you enjoy the people.
You wouldn't believe what I hear when people call me. And there's so many people in this country who are awake, But they're not people of power. They're not politicians. They're people who are trying to make ends meet and, you know, take care of them, their families and themselves. And, you know, work hard at a job.
Right.
They're normal, patriotic Americans. And, you know, what's being done to normal, patriotic Americans is unforgivable.
Tim, is now the most exciting time for silver, or was there a year you felt better about its potential?
1980 was a great year for silver. You know, we saw Nelson Bunker Hunt and Lamar Hunt being dragged into Congress to explain themselves when they managed to corner the market in silver. Nelson Bunker Hunt is one of my favorite personalities of all time. He sat there, you know, he had his big glasses, kind of like mine, that he, you know, every 5 minutes he's trying to hear what some senator has to say, and he's pushing his glasses. It's like a great personality. The Hunt brothers were, they literally cornered the market in silver. At that time, you had to put up like 5%, and you could corner the market at 100%. You know, the rules were changed. They kept them sitting in front of Congress answering stupid questions from stupid people and kept them away from the phones while the price of silver went down, down, down. But that was an exciting time because we realized that it wasn't the New York bankers who were in charge. Mm-hmm. It was individual investors or entrepreneurs who were in charge. And then the other exciting time was 2011. Did the same thing, went up to 49.50 or something like that.
In a direct response to what the Federal Reserve was doing with QE.
It was giving money away to select companies who were too big to fail and, you know, bailing them out. So they started out with $675 billion, which is peanuts today. Okay, and that was a lot of money back then.
It was.
You know, three-quarters of a trillion dollars was a lot of money. And that time it was Bernanke, okay?
Yep.
So they took this $675 billion and they spread it around. Now, let's see. New Hampshire got $860 million. You have any idea where one dime of that money went? I bet you don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, well... I started to ask questions, and there was a reporter from the Nashua Telegraph who started asking questions. He went to see the stimulus czar in Concord, who was a Democrat. And so he found out some of the projects and then posted that information in the Nashua Telegraph. Two of the projects I'll mention. One was the airport access road. They were building a new road to access a new airport in Manchester, New Hampshire. That was supposed to get $24 million. Okay, and it was already a fully funded project. They didn't need a dime. But they put that earmarked $24 million for the airport access road. The other one was $26 million to the widening of Route 93, an interstate highway in Windham. Okay?
Oh, okay.
That was also a fully funded project. They didn't need one dime. So where did that money go? $50 million, where did it go? Well, doing a little bit of research, and people ask me, you know, well, how do you know that? I said, don't believe me. Do your own research. In doing some research, I discovered that Lynch, who was our governor at that time, also a Democrat, used that $50 million to pay the salaries of 700 political appointees working for the state. Nobody seems to know what they did, whether they ever went to work, what department they were working for, but they used that stimulus money to pay salaries of 700 state employees.
Wow.
At least that's what the reporter from the Nashua Telegraph and I found out from talking to people. And I asked a key figure in New Hampshire government who was a customer of mine at that time. I said, what's going to happen with that money? And he said, oh, Lynch will find a use for it. That was the only answer he'd give me. Okay, so everybody was passing the buck. Nobody knows where that money went. That was the original stimulus scam, that was started in, what, 2009, I think it was.
Yep.
But, you know, people might also remember the term Solyndra. Solyndra was a company that was formed in Nevada to make solar panels in the United States, because they're all being made in China. The Obama administration gave that company $535 million. They made substantial contributions to the Democratic Party and then fired everybody and went out of business.
Yep.
Stimulus scam. You know, it's there. All that information is out there. We had a president who said, we're totally transparent. You can go online and find out where all this money is going. Try that. I did for one national park in California. Got $7.4 million to make improvements to the national park. So far, I discovered that they painted 20 of those little brown cabins. I would have done that job for $50,000 and made a lot of money doing it. They had summer interns spray paint those 20 cabins with that brown paint that they use in the national parks. Nobody knows what happened to the rest of the $7.4 million. That's the first stimulus scam. The attitude of the government was, just get it out there. It'll do wonders, you know. But all their buddies got paid handsomely. And, you know, you ever see another stimulus plan? Or quantitative easing is
what the fancy term was,
the umbrella they put it under.
Yep.
But the second time, you know, that was QE2, I think it was, right? Mm-hmm. And Bernanke went to Congress to ask for a QE3. And, you know, I had a friend in Congress at that time, and talking to him, he said, yeah, they're going to ask for $1 trillion, and we're not going to give it to them. And so Bernanke went there, and he said, we're going to start tapering. We're going to ask for less and less. So and he said, we're going to start it with $85 billion. So all the congressmen there, wow. $85 billion. Boy, we showed him. Okay. What is, somebody do this math. What's 85 million times 12 months? I'm just curious to know what the answer to that is.
80
times 12.
I have $1.02 trillion.
Yeah. They showed him. You can't write a book about this stuff. I mean, the way the government operates, it's so stacked against the people, it isn't funny. But, you know, this is, spending money is not just a science, it's an art with these people. Mm. And they're also very accomplished at shoveling you-know-what. You know, covering the people's eyes with everything. They're just... It's amazing. I mean, I could go on for days about what is going on in this government that people just don't know about.
No, they don't.
And it's...
too many don't care.
It's time to say, time out, that's enough. Throw every one of them out of there. We have a non-functional Congress. We have a group of people in the Congress who hate this country. And we'd love to see it crumble. Mm. And they are falling into the hands of the globalists.
And the far left, a lot of what we're seeing is just that. There is a deconstruction that's going on. It's a Marxist-based deconstruction of the institutions that you and I know and love.
Yeah, but there's no place for a Supreme Court the way ours is designed in a Marxist dictatorship. And, you know, who are they going to put at the top of this dictatorship? Spineless coward that we have in the White House?
Are there more women entering the precious metal space recently?
Over the last 2 years, yes. Yeah, I have probably as many communication from women remotely who are sending me checks and want to get them gold and silver. Probably just as many women as men right now. And I have great conversations with them. Because they're very intelligent, doesn't matter what state they're living in. I have several women calling me from California, because they don't like what they're seeing going on in California. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no excuse for why there are more women than men who are getting concerned. I think, you know, a lot of guys started stacking years ago, even if they weren't calling it stacking or didn't know what they were doing. They just didn't want to be left with nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they could see how little the currency buys today compared to 2 years ago. But yes, we're definitely seeing a lot more women.
Tim and Yankee, I'm ready to buy my first ever 1 ounce gold coin. What is the best gold coin to buy right now? Thank you. I'll be calling you Tim. You guys are awesome.
Well, the
best gold coin.
Yeah. The American Eagle and the American Buffalo are by far the most popular. They're a little more expensive than the Maple Leaf from Canada. All of them are good buys. The Buffalo has become tremendously more popular than the American Eagle. Mm-hmm. Some people have some misinformation about the Eagle. I've had people call me and say, well, I'd rather buy the Buffalo because the American Eagle is only 22 carat. You need to understand that every 1 ounce gold coin has exactly the same amount of gold per molecule as each other.
Excellent.
And that doesn't matter if it's a Krugerrand or a Maple Leaf or American Buffalo, American Eagle.
You're getting one 20 ounce of pure gold.
Or a gold bar.
I did pick this up recently, Tim. I just want to show you. It's beautiful.
It's a Britannia bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, people ask me, what are the prices of the gold bars? And I said, mm-hmm. Well, I can get IGR and right now Heraeus. Heraeus mm-hmm. used to be a simple company. Now it's Argor Heraeus. And I think a lot of this stuff is probably made in Turkey. But this is a German company. Now they operate out of Switzerland. Very good quality. And the IGR bars are very good quality. So you don't have any problem with either of them. They are less expensive than the boutique bars.
Right.
Vamps and Britannias and stuff.
What ratio is gold a better buy? Talk to us about the ratio.
Oh, boy. It's hard to say because originally the ratio was established at the U.S. Mint at 16 to 1. Somebody said the ratio is going to be established. It's 15 to 1. But they made the coin 16 to 1. And then in the 1830s, I think it was, early 1830s, they had to change that back to 25 to 1. That is still the ratio. If you take a $20 gold piece and a $1 silver piece, like a Morgan dollar or a Peace dollar, the ratio is 25 to 1. And now, is it ever going to go back there? I kind of doubt it. Gold is a barter currency between nations, and silver is a barter currency between individuals. It's also a lot easier to control. As long as the mining industry can keep up with supplying both gold and silver, I think the ratio could possibly come down in the 70s and 60s. You know, I used to say it belongs in the 50s. I still believe it belongs in the 50s. But I don't think it may ever get there again.
How high do you think inflation will go when all the U.S. dollars get repatriated?
Well, right now we're losing adherence to the dollar as a reserve currency.
That's the first step.
Yeah, that is the first step. When it happens officially, and you know what is officially? I mean, if you have 80% of the countries in the world are aligned up with whatever the reserve currency China and Russia are going to use. Mm-hmm. And they have the rest of the BRICS, you know, South America. I mean, not many countries who have a different idea about what the reserve currency should be really want to do business with Brazil. Brazil has reset their currency 6 times. And their accumulated inflation rate is 2.75 sextillion times what it was the first time they reset the currency in 1942. So that is the runaway highest inflation rate in the history of the world. They couldn't wait to be aligned with Russia and China. And that's the mistake that the European Union made when the European Union became, it was supposed to be the United States of Europe. They had no provision in their constitution for any country to pay down its debt. So every country in the European Union is drowning in debt. Every country in the European Union technically is bankrupt. But the reserve currency is important to this country, yes, only because you used to be able to go to any country in the world and go to the front desk of a hotel and exchange your dollars for whatever the local currency is. They're not doing that anymore.
But Jerome Powell recently said it's not really that critical that we have an exclusive reserve currency. It could be multiple reserve currencies.
Because he knows it's almost dead.
It's almost gone.
Almost gone.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason. These people always react with excuses. Mm-hmm. All of them do. It doesn't matter if it's the chairman of the Fed or the secretary of the Treasury. They read the script, and they don't vary from the script. And that's why they sound so stupid.
All right, so we're going to have to punch through these really quick, okay? So yep. Really pithy answers here.
Yes or no answers?
I'll try. I would like Tim to choose my first purchase for me. He can choose between a tube of 1 ounce silver Aztec rounds or Buffalo rounds or his choice 1 ounce silver coins. Just can do whatever you say, Tim. Such power.
A choice of a 1 ounce coin. The most liquid are still the American Eagle and the Maple Leaf from Canada. Those are the most liquid. The least expensive would probably be the Buffalo. I don't know if the Aztec rounds are less or more than the Buffalo. If you like that as a round and it's the same price as the Buffalo, get whichever one you like.
Silver Eagles or Canadian Maple Leaf, which you prefer? So you said those are the two. You'd go right now.
I'm still a little bit patriotic.
You're a true patriot.
Yeah, I love the Maple Leafs, and the way the Canadian Maple Leaf has met demand, like a company. They're right, operating like a company.
Yeah.
And that's...
U.S. Mint sucks in terms of its...
The U.S. Mint is like every other government agency. Every government agency under this administration doesn't give a damn. That's the way they operate.
Why do they penalize Tim for depositing cash?
It's a good question. In June, I had to pay $1,725 in fees to deposit cash. In July, it was $1,650 in fees to deposit cash. Just taken out of my account, period.
When will there be a silver coin with your face on it? Oh, my word. Ooh, we got to get a round, right? Do we need to get a Yankee round with you on one side and my AOK on the other? I think we should do that. I got my old one over here. What do you think? Do you think people would buy a Tim round on the reverse?
Well, it would be better looking than that.
Oh, it really would. I would love to get that. We got this mug right here. Right there. We're going to get that Tim mug on more than just a mug. What year did you open up your shop?
1991.
Cool.
And wow. This is after a full career with IBM.
Wow. How much gold does the U.S. hold, and where do we get ours from?
Okay, it's supposed to be 8,450 metric tons of gold spread between, there are three locations, the New York Fed, Fort Knox, what's the third one? I can't even remember. But, I mean, it's never been audited. You know, it's something that Ron Paul wanted to do.
Yep.
And I know they took some congressmen to Fort Knox back in the early 70s, right? Something like that.
Yep.
But for all we know, they saw the set of the movie Goldfinger. They didn't really see. They saw wooden blocks painted gold.
Is there anything you want to say to the people that are watching, just getting into stacking silver and gold?
It's a great buying opportunity now. We're seeing weakness in the metals. Mm-hmm. That's not going to last forever. When it breaks, it may break in a hurry and take a serious jump. I would say take advantage of the options that are given you. And that's right now we're in a great position to buy gold and silver, and whatever you can afford. you know, if you're on a fixed income, you want to make sure that you can pay your bills, mm-hmm. and if you have some excess, it's good. It's a good place. It's a good place to put your money. If it never happens, if the government wakes up, if we throw all the Democrats out there and get some conservative Republicans in the government.
Real conservatives. Yes.
And they don't push the world off the cliff, you know, at least this country off the cliff. Mm-hmm. If they fight back against the globalists, you're way ahead anyway. But having some silver as a backup a currency and having gold as a store of wealth, you're protecting yourself. It's a good thing to do.